B-Pod Studios.
Ahoy!
Hey, Sam?
Yes, sir?
Hey, how are you?
Good,
hey,
good.
This is Dave the Sausage Man.
Hi, Dave the Sausage Man.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember me. I was known as Dave the Sausage Man.
Vaguely remember.
Well, I'm sure you got to remember because you and Joe give me the name for my business.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't lived till you've had Dave's sausage in your mouth.
Yeah, I do.
I bring you guys bags of sausage and stacks of salami, all homemade.
Delicious. Where you been? What's going on?
Yeah, that was when you guys, you remember that, Marina Town Lane?
Yep. Yeah, a lot of good times there.
Yeah, well, the business failed.
Oh, so you're not in the business anymore? I'm sorry to hear
that.
Oh,
hell, and that's got to be 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I moved up to Englewood. I got a janitorial service now.
Englewood's nice. That's a nice area. A janitorial service, huh?
Yeah, it's actually worked out real well for me and the family.
Right. Good, good.
You know, me and my wife and my daughter, we go around to various businesses. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting rich, but we're getting by.
Yep. Well, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah. Listen, there is something I need to talk to you about.
Sure.
It's kind of awkward, and you and I have known each other a long time. Now, I know you're a good guy.
Yeah, thank you.
I really believe that with all my heart.
Yeah. Try
and,
to be.
I also know that people make mistakes, and
sure.
I believe in forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the problem? Did I make a mistake on something?
Well, first of all, do you have an eHarmony account?
I do. Yes, I do. It's
okay,
not doing much for me, but yeah, I do.
Okay, because I thought it might have been somebody that had just stole your picture off the internet.
What do you mean?
Trying to play a joke.
What do you mean, trying to play a joke? This doesn't involve your daughter, does it?
Yeah, and you met her. Matter of fact, you held her.
Yeah, when she was just a little baby, I remember. She had the pink blanket, and we had the pictures taken, and sure do remember. It was when your business was down there, and we were going by. We used to hang out all the time. I remember
very
well.
And if you remember at the time, you guys were real supportive because we were mm-hmm. having neurological tests done.
Sure.
And,
she's got to be a big girl now.
Well, she's 19 years old now.
Yes.
And
yes, sure.
we love her to death.
I bet.
But I don't know if you remember or if I even told you the results of those tests were not good.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. No, I did not know. I did not know.
Libby is developmentally disabled.
I'm sorry to hear, but she's still probably just as beautiful as ever.
She is gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's a gorgeous girl, which, let me tell you, as a dad, it makes you nervous.
Sure, I can
because,
imagine that.
You cannot tell from the outside. You can't tell if there's anything wrong.
No.
About the opposite of that. She looks real healthy.
Right, beautiful 19-year-old.
But
what's the problem? What's the deal? What can
well,
I help with?
Over the last week or so, Libby's been telling me, Daddy, I got a boyfriend.
Ah, good for her. That's great.
That's not good.
Why not? That's great. She's 19. She's beautiful. I'm sure she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's a little too beautiful.
Uh-huh.
What I'm trying to explain to you, Stan, is
she's
got the mind of a child.
Mm-hmm.
She's not able to make judgments.
Yeah? How am I involved in that? She's got a boyfriend. That's great. She got found him on the computer, did she?
Yeah, she did.
What's her boyfriend's name? We'll say a big howdy-do to him. Big hi to the boyfriend.
She says her boyfriend's name is Stan.
What? That's odd. That's odd.
He showed me your photograph.
Mm-hmm. What?
And then she showed me some correspondence.
Mm-hmm. What did
that
you
was
say?
A little disturbing.
What's the little the girl's name again?
And Libby.
That's a coincidence. Stan, Libby.
Look, I got to get down to brass tacks here. I know for a fact you're a lot closer to 45 than you are 25.
Yeah, well, what's the deal?
And Libby is physically 19. Okay. She's mentally about 8.
All right. Well, I had no idea. I don't know that this is the this.
But,
it sounds
but she
like a
has
coincidence.
Gone through puberty, and she has feelings. Mm-hmm. And she don't necessarily understand them. Did you cuss at me?
No, I said look. I'll be, you know, and I don't like let my personal life go out too much on the air. Dave, I look.
Man, I'm assuming this is an honest mistake. I don't care if you lie to other women and tell them that you're 25. Whatever floats your boat, pal.
Dave, I'm going to be.
But there's plenty other 19-year-olds out there that are not developmentally disabled.
I had no idea.
I personally find it distasteful that you would be going after a 19-year-old to begin with.
Right.
But much less one that has the mind and emotions of an 8-year-old.
This woman, and I wasn't putting two and two together, Dave. Honestly, I swear to God.
Stan,
it's nothing.
She is not your average 19-year-old woman.
She said, ready, willing, and able.
She has the mentality of an 8-year-old, and I hate to be a snoop, but I feel as a father it's my responsibility to keep an eye on her, and I've looked through some of the things that she sent you.
Wait a second.
And you've been encouraging her.
She's 19, and I didn't know that she was your daughter, and B, that she was mentally disturbed. I've been corresponding with a Libby. We've actually gone
now,
to stage 4.
I'll tell
four.
You this.
Stage
some
4
of
the
pictures
match.
That you're looking at shouldn't
hey.
Be seen by anybody but her gynecologist.
I don't. Wait a second. Wait a second. I don't know about any pictures like that that have
and,
been exchanged.
And I was so disappointed.
Hey.
I've listened to you for years, and I honestly thought you were a good guy.
Look, there's nothing, no nudity or anything like that. I had no idea.
If that's not nudity, hey. I don't know what you consider nudity.
She clicked on.
I mean, what did you think that was a Jay. Picture of? A snail on a piece of glass?
And I'll be perfectly
honest. Would you say the things that you're saying to my daughter, would you say that to an 8-year-old?
She's 19. What's she doing on that site? It's 4.
We have had her tested, and developmentally and emotionally, she
Dave,
is 8 years old.
I had no idea, man. Look, I'll end it, okay? And please, get those pictures and letters off your computer.
And what you sent her.
Look, I thought it was two consenting adults, and I don't think that there was anything really bad that I sent. There was.
Well, I'll tell you this. You got nothing to be ashamed of.
Thank you. Thank you.
You shouldn't be sending that to somebody who don't know. What are you doing?
Okay, I'll end it. I had no idea. We go back a long way, Dave.
We do go back a long way, and Mary is beside herself, and she don't even want me listening.
And I held that little Libby in my arms. I'd like to hold her again, but under the circumstances, boy, she grew up nice. Best of luck to you, okay? I'll end it. Get rid of that stuff off your computer, okay? It never happened. I'll end it.
Man, I got to be honest with you. Mary wants me to go to the cops.
No, she doesn't. Match closed. Okay, Matt, I'll go home today, close that out, after I say my goodbyes to her. She and I are really close. We mean a lot to each other, but for you, Dave, I'll end it. I'll end it. I had no idea she had a mind of an 8-year-old. She was talking some wild stuff,
man. I tried to explain to Mary.
Yeah.
Because she wanted me to call the cops.
Yeah, don't do that. There was no law broken. There was no
law
broken.
And that's the problem.
There's nothing broken.
Legally. She's a 19-year-old woman.
You damn right she is. Va, va, voom.
And she did request that photograph.
Yes, she did.
Of you with your leg kicked up.
She said she spelled leg and kick up right. I got to Mike. Mike, good talking to you, buddy. Hey, best of luck to you up in Inglewood and the new business. And give my love to Mary. And I'll give my love to Libby. Okay, buddy?
Man, it's just
yeah.
live in Southwest Florida. Sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say, 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. So damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon.
Space civilization has been consistently sending signals to the people of Earth for millennia. For the past 2 decades, we've been sending them this. Then, they stopped sending the signal. Oh well, f*** them if they can't take a joke. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
You are worrying about too many things, my friend. Stan will take care of that for you. I'll get you all.
No, do you know what a relief it is to talk to you?
Oh, I know it is.
Because nobody else cares.
No, I
and you
care.
Do, but not really.
No, I do. You know,
on a certain level.
I do care. But here's the thing. And it's completely different. But I know when I have explained stuff to you or tried to help you over the last 30 years, you don't listen to me. I'll say, and I, this is totally off the beaten path. I'll say, you need to do this. I'll help you do this. You got to get it done. And you'll say, yeah, I know I got. And then 6 months later, I say, did you get that done? Nah, I went with this. And then it's like, what? Don't you listen to me.
I just want to be left alone.
You are!
speaking of which,
yes.
Do you notice that I'm a little bit off today?
I don't look at it as off or on. I look at it as in degrees. And
no, you're going to the psychoanalyzing thing.
Off today,
I mean my physical position.
Are you in a different chair?
No. I'm a little bit off where I should be. is here.
Yeah.
All of this stuff is this way. And I found out why.
Why?
Because the Rob Show takes my computer, turns it around, yanked around here.
Oh, no, no, no.
So I am, although this is a poor arrangement.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't work well to begin with. Maybe it's super glue the monitor down to the counter. Trust me, they won't even know it after all the water damage in here.
Oh, yeah, water damage.
I know you want to. I can't talk about it on the air. It's not coming. It's coming up through the floor. I can't talk about it. And stop goading me into talking about it.
Well, as long as you curve me away from it.
Yeah, I'll curve you right away from that.
I'm not even sure what that means.
Curve. You know, I'm not making you do a bad face. I'm like the wind is blowing your sail, and I'm trying to get it into a different direction.
I've never heard anybody else say it, but...
very appropriate.
A lady was emailing to berate me and credited Stan with trying to curve. Maybe she meant curb. Did she write out curve?
Curve. Makes perfect sense.
Because curb would make more sense.
Well, to curb it would mean to stop it.
You know.
But I guided you. I curbed
you.
You
know what I mean?
You.
Curb makes sense. Curb makes sense. Curve doesn't make sense.
Curb made sense to me.
But that's Stan talk.
Yeah, and I completely understood it. Oh, God.
Hey, I wonder whose turn it is this week.
Look.
Because for the past 2 weeks, 1 week was my week where everybody was mad at me. Yeah. Then last week was Stan's week for everybody to be mad at him.
I'm also going to give you another thing that I try to keep from you.
I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah, well, sometimes I have to. The on-again, off-again weeks of hate email that we get.
Yeah.
You know, last week it was me. The week before that it was you.
Yeah.
I try to.
You're editing.
I try to only edit a little bit because sometimes you can't read them on the air. they're that horrific. People are in their own little worlds, and let me explain this. And we've also said this for a long time. You know what? Everybody gets a good laugh. Oh, we're laughing at this. We're laughing at that. Everything's funny. Everything's great until somehow it strikes a nerve with you. And then suddenly it's not funny, but you can laugh at everything else, can't you?
Laughter.
Yeah. Exciting and new.
You should have curved me away from that.
I tried to. She even recognized I curved you.
I guess... Now's not the time to bring up Roger Stone.
That poor old man. He's willing to talk now.
Now
he's
know,
willing to negotiate now.
I know you have your opinion, Stan.
Yes, I do.
But I want you to just be objective.
Yeah.
How is it, and the president has said this, how is it with all the people we know have lied to Congress? Why is it only Trump people?
Oh, because they're the ones to ask Junior about this. You look at the Mueller investigation thus far, 22 convictions so far, and...
Are those convictions or indictments?
How many Russians indicted? You know, he's doing good work getting the dirt.
But they're process crimes. They're crimes that wouldn't exist if he wasn't creating them.
You have to realize that's how they justify it. Trump's been found nothing. There's not a shred of evidence. That's why you go into process crimes when you don't have anything else.
Other than for public image and to pollute any potential jury pool, why would you send the SWAT team to Roger Stone's house, who's cooperated every time you've asked him for anything?
Even Fat Pant Christie said that was a little over. And he's from Jersey.
He's enjoying himself now because he thinks he'll get to get back at Kushner.
Yeah, we gotta take a break. No, everything's... Oh, by the way, I do want to say
this. Don't blame it on Kushner. It's when you did that bridge stunt.
Oh, and that got him. By the way, I want to say this. I saw Junior over the weekend. We were at the Festival of Beers.
Socializing together?
This was his first time at the Festival of Beers.
First time legal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so what
he's old enough to drink now, isn't he?
Yeah. But he doesn't get the idea of the Festival of Beers, because I was wondering about him. You're supposed to go from table to table, try the different beers.
What'd he do? Find the Bud Light table and sit there?
Kinda. He found his buddy over there by the elevator and kept going back. Said, oh, let's go and find other varieties. No, I like this one. And he'd go back to the same guy and have him fill up.
That's the whole purpose of the Festival of Beers is, okay, great, you found one you like. Now go find another one
that you like.
Oh, you didn't care for that one. Well, there's the next table.
Let's go over here. No, I'm going back over here. I like this guy.
I got a good variety, though.
Yeah, he had two different ones.
How do you suppose this
How
do you suppose this young man would handle a belly full of Nagomas?
Oh!
Think he'd do better or worse than Tiny Tim did?
Can I say this about him? He can handle it.
Yeah?
Yeah, he can.
Not like we could.
No, not like the old days. Not like the old days.
No, he'd be, if he hung out with us in the old days, he'd be singing Mama Told Me Not to Come.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Garrett, Hawaii 5-0.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rock.
Stan here.
This is 86, calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
That's speaking.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney,
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us on a Monday. Glad to have you along. Coming up on the show today, in about an hour, we're going to give a lucky K-Rocker, one lucky K-Rocker, a chance to win as we play the new game, Junior's True or False.
Oh, yeah, we're throwing Junior a bone,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, we're throwing him. That's good. We'll see how it goes.
But he doesn't do true or false. He only does maybe.
Well, then we're going to have a lucky winner. We got five true or false questions. You're going to each have your own set of questions. I'll give you the category. The listener will pick the category, and then Junior has to answer the
I don't know if
ones.
It'll work. Is his mic on?
Yeah, his mic's on.
Hey, Junior.
Yeah.
You ever rip that tag off a pillow or a mattress?
Maybe.
Yeah, let's see how this game's going to work.
He's got to have an answer. He can tank it if he wants. It's all about the winner.
True or false, Junior?
What's up?
True or false?
Oh, maybe?
It's not going to work.
Also, a safe word at 4 o'clock and the Wayback Machine. Later on today, as we take a look at what was on the Billboard charts this very week in a particular year, let's do the grab bag, the audio grab bag.
It was built on tragedy.
It's true. Brought to you by the Peter Moog North. This is for you. We started this series.
Did you say Siri?
A series.
People are going to be mad at you.
Series.
How can I help you?
This is for you. I did this for you.
For me?
Yes. And for everybody else that's in Haney's mood, this is part two of our series.
Motivational Monday.
Motivational Monday.
Turn that frown upside down. A smile can be a very powerful thing. The physical act of smiling affects your brain and can boost your mood. Smiling helps people struggling with anxiety and depression. Smiling can lower your blood pressure. Smiling reduces stress. It can also improve relationships.
Sure
and smiling makes you look younger and more attractive.
Yep.
Smiling also boosts your immune system, reduces pain, and people who smile more live longer.
Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling.
And the world will smile.
Motivational Monday.
That was for you and everybody else.
But wouldn't it be uncomfortable to have to smile all the time?
Oh, well, you get used to it afterwards. A lot of people on TV. Here's the...
I'll tell you the one that I'm thinking of.
Oh.
The royal family, especially the young women, they have to, because there are so many pictures taken of them, they're always smiling, which means that smile must be permanent.
I want people to make a mental note.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This, when you are watching, for the most part, unless it's some kind of medical product they're selling. But for the most part, if somebody is doing a stand-up ad on television.
Like a Dennis Quaid.
Yeah. They are smiling. Now, when you do these things, and Haney and I have done our share of them, TV shows, commercials, and all that, your natural tendency is to be yourself, and when you look at it on screen, well, you're not smiling. People that do these commercials like a Dennis Quaid.
Mm-hmm. Where he ends up with like pallets of toothpaste but says maybe that's not what you want.
Everybody's smiling and you have to force and learn to smile because when you watch it on television, it's natural. Oh, they seem pleasant and I believe them because they're smiling.
I bet it would be hard to find a picture of Meghan Markle where she's not smiling.
Or holding her baby bump.
Oh, look at me.
Did you watch the Pro Bowl?
What?
Yep, here's a recap.
Here's your comprehensive recap of the 2019 Pro Bowl. This has been your comprehensive recap of the 2019 Pro Bowl.
They're calling it the worst Pro Bowl ever.
Geez, I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah. Played in Orlando in the rain. NFC beats the AFC 25-7.
That's an odd number.
Woo!
Was there a safety?
Must have been. I don't know. I didn't watch.
Or a missed extra point. There is something.
Didn't watch it.
That is... I remember when I was a kid and just learning about sports and talking to my dad about it and going, wow, that must be awesome when they have the Pro Bowl. All the best players have to go against each other. Doesn't work that way, son.
No.
And why have that game at all?
I know I like doing my reading on pro sports and bathroom reading.
Yeah.
There's two things. One I remember, one I don't remember, that went on within our lifetime, Haney, of the NFL. Number one, the Senior Bowl used to be played with the college seniors versus the Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be college football players playing the previous year's Super Bowl champions.
How much would that cost now?
I don't know. But they had to play. Seniors that were going into the NFL draft.
They said, all right, we're going to give you an all-star team, the best seniors in the country going up against the champs.
Yep. And they did it right up into the 70s. The other thing that I didn't know about was something that was the nickname. It was called the Runner-Up Bowl. You had the two teams that went to the Super Bowl. Let's take this year, for example. The Eagles didn't make it, and the... Who would the Rams beat?
Saints.
All right, yeah. Okay, so it would be...
It's the Patriots and the Rams are in the
right,
Super Bowl. It's the Chiefs.
And it would be the Chiefs and the Saints
yeah.
playing in something they called the Runner-Up Bowl.
And that's in case either of the Super Bowl teams can't serve out their term with the Super Bowl trophy.
They wanted to find out what was the official third-place team in the league.
To make it official.
And they would have to play a
runner-up bowl. What a depressing football game.
Yup. That was on the schedule.
You see what our smart-ass producer just did?
What? Put up a picture.
Found the only non-smiling picture of Markle.
Yeah.
And I think that's old. That's before she was a, what is she, a duchess?
Yeah, that's when she found out that...
That is a dramatic scene from Suits that doesn't count.
Or that Daddy was coming to the wedding.
my little girl.
I wish he'd been there.
So you had to play the runner-up bowl, and then you had the senior bowl thing where the seniors would play the NFL champs. Elliot, here he goes again.
She's got a hint of a smile.
Yeah.
She's on her way to a smile.
See, your old stomping ground's Ocala, Haney.
Oh, why do you put that on?
Guy in Ocala was doing some... It's big up in Ocala. Magnet fishing. You put a big magnet down in the creek and see what you pull up.
What?
Magnet fishing.
Pull up junk?
Yeah. You put a big magnet underneath. You got a pole. You drop it down there and you...
You don't want to do that in Ocala.
You troll a little... Well, you're right. Because he... This is brilliant.
There for a reason.
He pulled out of the water... A World War II era grenade.
Do you know, was it Ocklawaha River? Or?
I don't know. We'll find out in the story. But he, instead of calling authorities, decided to go to the Taco Bell.
Well, it's a conversation piece.
Oh, yeah. So I've heard some horror stories in consulting with some of our school leaders.
Oh, hold it. That's not the one. This is, hold it. I got to stop it. I played the wrong one. This is it. There you go.
Well, check out what a Florida man brought to his local Taco Bell before calling 911. You're looking at an authentic World War II hand grenade. The man told police officers he found the grenade while magnet fishing. After making the discovery, he put the grenade into his trunk and drove to Taco Bell. The bomb squad was eventually called out and safely disposed of the explosive.
I think the proper course of action here would be to put this ordnance into my vehicle and drive to a populated area.
Yep, like a Taco Bell. Dateline, Tennessee. I can see this. A state representative in Tennessee is proposing yet another school dress code. Except it's not for the students. It's for the parents that drop their kids off or have to come to the school for a meeting.
Oh, yeah. So I've heard some horror stories in consulting with some of our school leaders. One is there was a school leader that mentioned a parent came to the school. Well, actually came to the office in her sleepwear, but it was sexy sleepwear. And you know, there were some body parts exposed. And you think about it, you know, you have a line of second graders that's holding on to each other's shirts coming down the hall, and they can possibly see this. And it may not be conducive to a good educational environment.
I've had another one tell me about someone coming in smelling like drugs. We're not just talking about parents. We're talking about this code, this minimal base code of conduct will cover everyone, educators, students, parents, vendors, visitors, speakers, anyone that comes on that campus, that steps foot on that campus.
It's a shame. Yeah. Back in our day, that wasn't an issue. Didn't require further legislation.
Poor Tom Brokaw.
You know what? If that's the way you're going to do it,
yep.
If you're going to go and sit down in a nest of snakes, eventually they'll bite you, no matter how good of friends you think you are.
Tom Brokaw, the legend at NBC, he's old. He's in his 80s. And he said...
And if you're wondering, no, he always talked that way. It's not just because he's old.
He said something that so many people agree with, but... It might be deemed offensive, especially in an NBC forum. Brokaw was talking about, and he has since apologized for something that it's so minor. He was talking on the NBC News program over the weekend about part of the problem with the border and illegals coming in is that much like other immigrants, and I'll go as recently as Vietnam and the people coming into this country, refugees. He said, instead of setting up boundaries of we're this or we're that, learn to assimilate into the American culture, and it will be a much better place.
A lot of those
Vietnamese refugees that ended up in Texas and Louisiana. By now, their kids and grandkids, some of them are dyed-in-the-wool rednecks.
Yes. But Tom Brokaw was just basically saying, which was the American way since the beginning, you assimilate into the country.
That's the idea.
That was the whole idea. Well, he brought that up, and they accused him of being a senile old man, offensive. You need to go. He had to apologize for this.
A lot of this we don't want to talk about, but the fact is, on the Republican side, a lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary, important new constituency in American politics, Hispanics, who will come here and all be Democrats. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time, you know, that they ought not to be just codified in their communities, but make sure that all of their kids are learning to speak English and that they feel comfortable in the communities. And that's going to take outreach on both sides, frankly.
He had to apologize for that. That was wrong of him to say that.
You know, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt, and I cannot remember the actual quote word for word, but he was very much against today's hyphenated world, that there weren't African Americans, there weren't Hispanic Americans, there weren't anything dash Americans. If you came here, you were to be an American and treated as such if you made the effort.
Social media is all a buzz because something happened on The Price is Right with Drew Carey. The announcer called the person, come on down. But they were in the bathroom, and that got social media. Can you believe it?
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Tara Armstrong, come on down.
Keep the music going.
She's in the bathroom.
Oh, that's a dream come
Tara.
True. Huh? Wash your
nice
hands.
Nice to see you.
You wash your hands, Tara?
Thought you'd never get here. So glad you could make it.
Nice to meet you. Sorry.
You know, social media is all going on about this. Like it's the first time it happened. It happened tons of times when Bob Barker was hosting. They just don't remember it. And in fact, here's one clip from Bob Barker hosting The Price is Right. When he said something that if Drew Carey said this, he would have to be replaced as host of The Price is Right.
What about
a
Tom Brokaw?
Yep. Bob Barker said it. It was fine then. Drew Carey couldn't do this. Contestant in the bathroom.
Our next player is Daniel Jimenez. Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
He is in the men's room.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, it could be worse. He could be in the women's room.
Oh, it could be. Oh, that's offensive.
Uh-huh.
Here's another one back in the 70s, Bob Barker, with the original Come On Down guy, Johnny Olson.
Patricia Bernard, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Just a moment. An emergency has occurred. Would you believe this moment had to occur, did it not? Patricia has gone to the little girl's room.
That's offensive.
A gentleman, whom I assume is her husband, has rushed out to get her. A page has gone after the gentleman. Everyone in America is wondering how long can they wait for Patricia. Here comes Patricia.
That's right, kids. It's happened a lot.
So let's all calm down.
Yeah. interesting. I'll let you be the judge.
Oh, I can answer right away. Yes, I think she has worn out her welcome.
Music, new music.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Meghan McCain.
The Counting Crows have finally released the song August and Everything After. That was the name of their debut album in 1993 with all the songs you know.
Like Mr. Jones.
But.
And Mr. Jones.
But the title track itself never made the cut. So finally, they decided to finish and record it.
So cruel to make us wait so long.
Yep.
We're getting older and older and older and older.
Yeah.
Sounds like the same depressing fare.
Yeah. Out of the way. You look into her eyes.
Junior loves it.
And it's more than your heart will allow.
Oh, boy.
In August and everything after. Get a little less than you expected somehow.
I don't need this today.
Yeah. Remember, Haney, smile.
Well, what are you trying to do to me? I don't even know what the guy's talking about, but evidently something bad happened in August, and then it got worse.
Took all those years to finally do it.
Hey, great. Do you ever get a haircut, that guy? You look like a chia head.
Yeah. Probably did. I'm sure he did.
His name was like Durowitz, wasn't it? Adam Durowitz.
Dershowitz?
Yeah, something
care,
like
care
that.
Care for a piece of gum?
Is that gag gum?
No, I don't think so. This is
looks like gag gum to me.
The Dirty Nil, Canada's finest. Rock and roll, bubble gum, and sweethearts. Zito got it, left it for Dave in case he comes by today to preoccupy him.
Oh, I hope he does.
I hope not. Grab bag.
Remind me when we come back. You were talking about magnet fishing, which I've never heard of. I found out something over the weekend that I've never heard of that's evidently so good it's being banned before it can take off.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about it when
and
we come back.
And it might work here.
Take your phone calls as well when we come back. Maybe pick up a prize later on in the 3 o'clock hour. True or false with Junior. Wayback Machine later on. Safe Word 4, we're Stan and Haney.
When you think America, you think apple pie, hot dogs, beer, baseball, and Stan and Haney. We celebrate Stan and Haney.
Thank you.
There you go. On 96 K-Rock.
Thank you.
Heartfelt.
Yeah, well, you meant it. 277-9600, number into the studio if you want to participate in the conversation. You know, I was thinking about this today because it's all over the social media. 33 years ago today, the Challenger exploded.
Oh, I don't, I don't even want to think about it.
Here's what I think about. 33 years ago today, both me and my friend Haney were in the radio business.
Yes, we were.
And we remember that day very well and the aftermath of that very well. And it was...
It was a defining
it was
moment.
Yep, 33 years ago. And
time flies.
It seems like it wasn't that long ago. What? Let me get my... Oh, you know what? I won't do it. Let's see. That happened in what? 1980... What?
Was it 86?
86, correct. And it was 33 years ago. So let me get my calculator out to see how many years, if we were in 1986, living like we were living, what would the year have been 33 years earlier than that? 1986 minus...
You love doing this. I hate it.
Equals. In 1986... We would have been talking about what happened in 1953.
Thanks.
So now we're talking about what happened in 1986, and you and I were working in the radio business. If we were talking
Stan, we'd been in the radio business several years by then.
I know that. Oh, that's horrible. Junior wasn't even born.
Yeah. I found out something over the weekend, and you were talking about magnet fishing. That was a new one on me. But it's very rare that I find something I've never heard anything about, and I don't even remember how I ran across it.
Will I like this?
Yes. And Junior, get ready, because I'm going to want you to pull up a video so Stan can see what I'm talking about.
Go ahead.
It is called foil surfing. F-O-I-L surfing.
Foil surfing?
Have you ever heard of this?
No. I don't even know what that is.
I remember now why I found out about it. Because it's been banned in Australia at Bondi Beach. Because it's too dangerous.
What do you do? What do you stretch out some aluminum foil and surf on, body surf on it?
Of course, that would seem to be what it would be. But no. What they do is you take, and usually they like to use a shorter surfboard than you normally would.
Right.
But it's a regular surfboard, shorter than usual. And they attach a keel to the bottom of that surfboard.
Isn't there one already there? Well, that's a fin?
No, think about a keel.
Like on a sailboat.
Yeah. And it attaches to the bottom of the board. And what happens, you can be pulled by a boat or you can be catching the wave. And what happens is with the foil down in the water, it raises the board up so that you're standing on top of the board with probably a foot or two of air between you and the water.
So you go faster.
You go faster and you're going through the air. And the cool thing about this, I don't know who came up with this, but evidently they came up with it for bad wave days or places where there are bad waves because of the dynamics of this.
Yeah.
Even what we'd call chop, because you know the difference between a good wave and a bad wave.
Yes.
And there are times when it's tubing and glassy, and then there are other times where there's just maybe they're tubing, but they're only like a foot tall. This thing, you bounce on it, and your kinetic energy moves you. It's like a whole different thing, and you
all
would
right,
not.
I'm looking at this now.
All right, so you see the keel there.
Why do they call it foil surfing?
Because that acts as like an airfoil.
Oh, look at this. They're out of the water, and it's the keel that's...
You see how small that wave is?
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's amazing. But the wipeouts on this...
So it's lower resistance because there's less... There's just a little...
Can you believe that? Now, that's a regular longboarder for comparison.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. I've never heard of it before.
Now, I'm thinking with this, they banned it. You're not allowed to do this on the public beach at Bondi Beach in Australia.
It's too fast, too dangerous.
Yeah, and that keel, I imagine, packs a wallop.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine getting hit in the head with that?
You see him bouncing?
Yeah, it takes him right back out by bouncing on it, bouncing on the board.
Yeah, it is really...
Holy smokes,
that looks
I've
like
never
so much,
seen that.
Looks like so much fun. And the thing is, before they ban it here, you know how you don't surf in the Gulf, right? But occasionally, there'll be a little bit of waves. This thing could kick ass. On those few days a year where there's a couple of waves in the Gulf, you could surf them.
Do you and I open a foil shop?
Let's do it.
Where we
now the
Stan and Haney's foil surf.
Now, theoretically, you'd be able to surf the Gulf with this, but even without that, you can do you put a tow rope on a boat and you're up and flying immediately.
I know somebody that doesn't know anything about this. That's Dave the Waterman. This is completely foreign to him.
But look up the videos. They're really cool.
Absolute Law text line. The keel has a wing on it. So it has the flying wing. So you're essentially surfing on the winged keel.
Yeah.
And the board is above water.
Yeah, and the keel...
Lower water resistance.
And the keel is below the water. Your board is above.
That's the thing that's kind of like surfing and guiding you through the waves.
Yep.
That's amazing.
But extremely dangerous.
Anybody ever try this? 277-9600. But I want to know if somebody's ever tried that. You can get killed.
I'm thinking, no, but you could surf in the Gulf of Mexico.
It's got hydrofoil.
But they call it foil surfing.
Anybody know about this, you surfers out there? You people that love the water? 277-9600. Have never heard anything like that before in my life.
It's fun just watching it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'd like to see that on like a big wave. Because we were just looking at small waves.
Well, he can probably find some more videos where they show the wipeout. The wipeout is... Ugh. But what they say about this is, I think it might have been part of the video he was showing, was a guy who has surfed and snowboarded. He's done it all. And so he decides to try... foil surfing for the first time.
Yeah.
They take him out behind a boat so he can get acclimated to it. And then he goes and tries the waves and wipes out a bunch of times. And he said, with foil surfing, no matter who you are, even if you're Mr. Pro Surfer, Pro Snowboarder, whatever, he goes, it's a totally different ball game. Different skills, different muscles. Your leg muscles have to be in really good shape to deal with this.
Yeah. Let me grab the phone. I got phone calls here. Who were you talking to before for an inordinate amount of time? 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. This is Rick. How are you?
Do you know anything about this foil surfing?
Yeah, I do. Well, not so much the surfing, but back in the 90s, they actually came out, you know, as far as skiing and stuff like that behind boats, called an air chair. And basically you sit on it and you can get astronomical air as far as jumping waves and stuff like that. And there's actually...
Well, this isn't doing it like... This is actually... They're surfing. They're just... Have you seen this?
It's the same theory, but... And they've actually got a battery-operated hydrofoil board where you can... cruise around on it for 30 minutes on a battery.
Wow, that's fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you can check it out. They got a video of it online going through downtown Miami on the water, you know, just cruising around. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard of it. I appreciate the call.
I think, if not this video, definitely the other video was on a slow day at Hatteras, and one of the guys that's really good at it says, now, the appeal of this for me, he says, go ahead and film it. He says, what I want to do is I want to be able to go out, I want to catch four waves without ever having to paddle. And so he catches the wave, the next one, he can see the next one already coming in, and he pumps with his legs
and
four consecutive waves without stopping.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, guys, this is Steve.
Steve, you know about this?
Yeah, just a little bit. The other guy said basically what I was going to say, but out in the Estero Bay every once in a while, I'll see guys doing kind of like that air chair thing he's talking about, where you see people basically skiing behind boats doing that, and it looks pretty cool, because you're actually, looks like the board's probably at least 2 feet up out of the water, and they do flips and tricks and stuff when they hit wake from other boats and that sort of thing.
Jeez. All right,
it
thanks.
It looks fun.
Yeah, but it looks wild.
I had never seen it before.
277-9600.
But, you know, it'll be banned if it gets popular.
Oh, yeah. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Yeah, hi, who's this?
It's Byron.
Byron, you know anything about this?
Well, I work on Santa Fe all the time, and they do a lot of kite surfing out there, and the other day, I seen a couple of the kite surfers with the foil board, where their board's about 2 foot off of the water, and they're hooked to a kite.
Oh, is this what I'm looking at here, Junior? I think
that's the air chair.
That's the air chair?
Yeah, that's what pulled up when I looked for it.
That's wild stuff. Appreciate the call. Thanks.
That's insane.
It really is. Yeah, you know, taking it to the next extreme. Yeah,
Somebody always will.
I tried surfing once. never again.
It's terrible because I absolutely love surfing, but I am so not good at it.
I
gave up on it, and I enjoy the bodyboard.
Yeah, you used to enjoy the bodyboard a lot. I remember that.
No, you just saw a grudge match.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, when I came down here, because that's the only time I went surfing, and it was in the Atlantic, I was always a good skateboarder. And so a buddy of mine who I met down here gave me one of his surfboards. He says, go to the beach and try it out. And I couldn't do it. There was no way in the world I was going to even go anywhere on that surfboard. Couldn't get my balance. The nose kept going down. And I said, you know what? I keep doing this. I'm going to get killed.
Pretty much all my friends surfed, and they would always encourage me and try my board. And it's like, I can do this, but I am so pedestrian at it. I can't enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, I never was able to get the hang of it.
And then I saw that, and then I started getting in a surfing mood. You know how YouTube does to you, and they pop up other videos?
Yeah.
They showed the Real Sports segment on Mavericks. You heard of that?
Uh-uh.
It's Half Moon Bay, California, small town, and this, what?
There's a guy that got hit in the head with the board.
Yeah, it's dangerous. But this kid grew up in this community, which was not known for surfing, but he noticed that every once in a while, they had like waves that were bigger than Hawaii. And he was the only one out there for like 20 years. Nobody believed him. Because when they'd go back, everything would be flat. Well, they looked into it. Matter of fact, the guy that really got into it, forecast it, is from our old stomping grounds on the other coast. But what they found out is if there was a certain type of storm over on the other side of the Pacific in Asia, then you could predict when those gigantic waves were going to come. And they've started this, and they call it like the strangest competition in sports. And it's called Mavericks. That's the nickname for where these waves occur. And when this guy figures out the conditions are right, they've had the right kind of storm that's going to hit the reef and make these, you know, huge waves bigger right. than Hawaii.
Then they set the matches.
They set the match, and everybody, all the Australians, they all get on planes and get their helicopters and drones up there to film the thing, all by the seat of their pants, and they have a contest.
Ahoy, who's this?
Oh, this is Andrew. How are you guys doing?
Andrew, right. Are you talking to me on a speakerphone?
You know what? It's just hands-free. Is this any good?
Yeah, you're fine.
All right. It's all right.
Okay. I was just going to say that I grew up in Half Moon Bay, so I know the area very well. Moss Point is where you basically drop into. And Jeff Clark was the individual that really... Jeff Clark? And, during the wintertime... It just picks up. They get these, storms from, I don't know if they're from, say, Japan area, what have you, but I think they say it's the largest surfable waves in the United States.
Yeah, and the Hawaiian guys say it's actually bigger than what they deal with.
Well, it's more dangerous, too, because you're looking, that's a great white breeding ground, which is always nice as well. The reef is just, it will tear you up, and a legendary surfer named Mark Fu, he took a nosedive into coral, and that was it for him.
There's been a couple of guys that have died doing that.
Jeez.
Well, yeah. It's no joke.
Appreciate the call. Yeah. It's amazing. Hey, we got to take a break because we're going to give a lucky K-Rocker chance to win. Are you sure this is real about Steve Miller? Is that on the list?
It's in my promo suite.
Okay. I have a pair of tickets to go see the Steve Miller Band coming to the Barbara B. Mann. I thought these were gone. We have a pair of Steve Miller Band tickets. If you can defeat Junior in Junior's True and False, don't say maybe. It better be a true or false. There's going to be two categories to choose from. Whatever the listener chooses, you get the other one. I can tell you what the categories are now. The categories are, if you think you know, it's all true or false. Categories are the Super Bowl or the Beatles. What a, five true and false questions. The Beatles, the Super Bowl. Pick which one you want. Junior will get the other.
Anything in there about the runner-up bowl?
And nothing in there about the runner-up bowl. We'll play when we come back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Yeah. Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Freak. And now, back to Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock. Everything that rocks.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney.
Honest to God.
Yeah, I know.
Will you back me up on this, Junior?
On what?
Well, we're from different generations.
Yeah, several different generations, not into the next generation. There's a couple of spaces.
You see, there was no such thing as sex when we were in elementary school.
No.
It wasn't spoken of.
No.
You just told me that when you were in fifth grade, your teacher taught you how to have sex?
She didn't, like, show us how, like, but, like, we had a sex ed class.
In fifth grade.
Yeah. Oh, I had a sex ed, for me it was seventh grade was sex ed.
All right.
And Connecticut was one of the few states in the country that actually had it. A lot of times they'd try to squeeze it in as health class. We had and required sex ed.
And so your fifth grade, what is that, like 9 or 10?
No.
Something like that, yeah.
You're older.
10, 11.
All right, so first grade, you're 5, 6. Second grade, you're 6, 7. Third grade, you're 7, 8. Fourth grade, 9, 10.
I think I was 11.
Like 11.
Yeah.
And I guess she was a good teacher because she taught you a certain technique that you use to this day that she explained to you. Do you want to share what that is?
So we all kind of already knew what it was, and we were all just being funny. Like, I think one kid raised his hand and, how do you go about this? And she got all awkward and stuff, and she just said, well, I like to think of it like that Glade song, you know, for the Glade plugin. Plug it in, plug it in. That's what she said to the class, but we all
busted out
laughing.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Plug it in.
Plug it in. Yep.
Yeah. No wonder.
Yep. We call it a beef injection.
Yeah. And I didn't think about it because, you know, the internet didn't exist when we were kids. Right. They're exposed to everything immediately.
Of course they are.
And do you mind me telling the story?
Yeah, why not?
Quickly, we got to play the game, give somebody a chance to win.
All right, why? Be quick about it, but how you first saw pornography.
Oh, yeah.
He liked comic books.
I was a big comic book fan. I wanted to look up more on the internet about X-Men.
And what is this, like second, third grade?
Something like that. And I look
up... What are these Asian comics?
No.
No, I looked up X-Men online, and it brought me to some website like
X.
Called like yeah.
Yeah, you put X in, and you get all kinds.
So,
that's
so it's this innocent exposed little kid that likes the X-Men yeah comics. Boom, there it is, yep, as you like to say, in full bloom.
Yep. I just remember seeing my grandfather's Playboys.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
You know what's that? Can I see another one?
Yep.
Yep.
Right. That's how God intended it, sir.
Let's play Junior's True or False.
Now, this is confusing to me because I don't want to play your music for Junior.
Yeah, this is Junior's True or False. I'll be the moderator. Five true or false questions. You each get your own category. We're going to get a random Stan and Haney listener to go head-to-head with Junior. The Stan and Haney listener gets to pick the category for himself, and Junior has the other one. I told you. Categories, because they both happen in February, the Super Bowl and the Beatles' first appearance in America. So the true or false questions are about the Beatles or the Super Bowl. if you want to play, a chance to get tickets to go see the Steve Miller Band at the Barbara B. Mann.
All right. I think I know the only thing that I could use as Junior's theme.
All right.
Are you going to give him an intro?
Let's play Junior's True or False. Star Wars.
If they should bomb Wars, please let these stay.
All right, let's see who we got here. You'll each get, and by the way, there's five of them, but I can at any time throw in a bonus question. Bonus question, which will help you along on this. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Mark.
Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good, Mark. Have you won anything from us in the last 30 days?
I have not.
Would you like to play Junior's True or False?
Absolutely.
Which category would you like, the Beatles or the Super Bowl?
How about the Beatles?
All right. Mark gets the Beatles. Junior, the Super Bowl.
He knows nothing about...
These are educated guesses, true or false. You got a 50-50 shot unless I throw in a bonus point, which in several of these, there will be bonus points.
Yeah, so you were able to manipulate the outcome as you see fit.
Absolutely. Mark, we'll start with you and your true or false Beatles question, all right?
Okay.
And then we'll go to Junior's first Super Bowl question.
Okay.
All right, Mark. The Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show three times and made a total of $3.
I'm going to say false.
It is false. They signed a contract for three performances, yes. Bonus point if you can come within $1,000 of the amount they were paid.
Let me go with $8,000.
You missed it. By $1,000. They got paid $10,000. But you got a point, and you're on the board.
You know how that was split?
Yeah, five for John and five for Paul. Junior, Super Bowl question. And a lot of this, just answer the question. The Super Bowl, Junior, will be broadcast in 236 countries around the world. True or false? The Super Bowl will be broadcast in 236 countries around the world.
False?
That is false. That is false. You see, there aren't 236 countries in the world.
If there were, it would be broadcast would be. There.
The real, there are 196 countries in the world. My bonus point for you, you did get the point. How many countries is the Super Bowl going to be shown in? If there are 196 countries in the world, how many countries get to see the Super Bowl? I'll give you within 10.
Twelve.
What?
Wait, can I change it? Can I change it?
No, let him change it. Let him change it.
You're going to let him... Okay, go.
90.
No, you still don't get it. The real number, 180 countries. 180 countries. All right.
And those 15 countries that aren't airing it?
Yeah.
We'll bomb them eventually.
Eventually. All right, Mark, your second question. Well, it's 1-1 right now. You both got your first ones right. No bonus added to it. For the Beatles, their third performance on the Ed Sullivan Show, their third performance, was taped before their first appearance aired. Their third performance was taped before their first appearance aired.
I'm going to say false.
That, in fact, is true.
Ah.
Their first appearance was live on the Ed Sullivan Show. But their third appearance, which aired on February 23rd, 1964, was taped on February 9th before the live show. So they were going to go on at 9 o'clock. They taped at 8 o'clock for their third performance. Their second one, incidentally, was in Miami, not in the Ed Sullivan Theater. So you did no extra points there. Junior, on average, the national anthem at the Super Bowl lasts 1 minute 4 seconds on average.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I want to say false.
You are correct. You are correct. You get the point. Now, bonus point available within 10 seconds. Within 10 seconds. What is the average actual time of the national anthem at the Super Bowl? Within 10 seconds.
I want to say a minute 50.
Yeah, you got it.
On the nose?
A minute 56 seconds.
Ouch.
Very good. Very good. He's Mark, he's up 3-1 on you. All right, here we go. Third one for you, Mark.
Okay.
Listen carefully. The first song the Beatles played on the Ed Sullivan Show was All My Lovin'. True or false?
False. I want to say it was I Want to Hold Your Hand.
It is true. It is true. Now, I will give you, taking out I Want to Hold Your Hand, which they also did perform, taking that out, name another song for a bonus point so you can at least get a point. You got it wrong. Bonus point, name one of the other songs the Beatles played on their first performance. Take out I Want to Hold Your Hand because that was on there and you blurted it out. That was not their first song. What else did they do on that first show with Ed Sullivan for a bonus point?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank. I got nothing.
That is too bad. The songs they did on the first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, All My Loving, Till There Was You, She Loves You, I Saw Her Standing There, and I Want to Hold Your Hand. Junior. You're on a roll, baby. You're on a roll.
He's a savant.
Number three, Junior, for the Super Bowl. Commercial airlines cannot fly within 10 miles of the stadium during the game. True or false?
True.
You are absolutely correct.
Correct. That whole area is blacked out.
There is a 10-mile radius. It will be in effect. It's called the no-fly zone. 4-1. Mark, I even gave you the category to
choose. I know. I love the Beatles, too.
And Junior knows nothing about
and
this.
And Junior knows nothing about the Super Bowl. All right, number four, Mark. Before their first performance, the Beatles got a telegram from Elvis. Before their first performance on the Ed Sullivan Show, the Beatles got a telegram from Elvis Presley.
I'm going to say yes.
It was yes. Yep. He sent them a telegram congratulating them.
Can you still send telegrams?
I don't think so. I do not know. All right. You're on the board with 2 points now. Junior, listen carefully to the question. There will be more people at the Super Bowl game than the official population of Atlanta, Georgia. There will be more people traveling around to be in the stadium at the Super Bowl game than the official population of Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm going to say false.
You are correct. It is false.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious.
Yep, and, you know, it kind of is supposed to throw you. All right, bonus. Bonus, what, and I'm going to do this within 10,000 people. What is the metro population of Atlanta, Georgia? Within 10,000.
That's a little rougher.
Yeah.
I don't know, 200,000?
Incorrect. 486,000 metro Atlanta. I'll throw you one more bonus point. I want you to hit it within 1,000. How many seats? How many seats can hold, can be held in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? If it's a sellout, they will have how many thousand people there? Within a thousand?
30,000?
Incorrect.
No, that's, you're thinking about the soccer stadium in California.
77,000. 77,000. All right, now I'm going to let you...
Did you hear what Arthur Blank is doing?
What's he doing?
They've had this deal going on with the Falcons, and of course that's their stadium that the Super Bowl is being played in. They've made like this pledge to the fans to keep their concession prices low.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where like hot dogs are a dollar and all this. And they've insisted to the NFL that those prices remain the same at the Super
Good.
Bowl.
All right, now being that Junior is ahead right now, 5-2, I'm going to give Junior his final question. Then we're going to go with you, Mark, and there are bonus possibilities.
Okay.
So that I can give you some kind of shot. I don't think it looks good right now, but I'll give you some kind of shot.
That's unfortunate.
True or false, Junior, for the Super Bowl, it would cost over $350 million to buy all the ad time during the Super Bowl this year. Over $350 million.
I'm going to say true.
It is true. They expect to be well in excess of $359 million into the $400 million.
Well, you know, it's only gotten more valuable over the years.
Yep.
With audiences segmented and watching things on DVRs and whatnot, the Super Bowl is like when they're guaranteed to have all these eyes on the screen at one time.
All right, Junior, you finished with six. You did very, very well. I'm going to try to get you some bonus points here, but I don't know where I'm going to find them from, Mark. Let's start with getting it right first.
Sounds good.
True or false? More than 50% of American households tuned in to the Ed Sullivan Show for the Beatles' first appearance. More than 50% of households in America tuned in for the Beatles' first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. True or false?
I would think it would be more than that. I'm going to say false.
It is false. So you get the point for that.
Was it more?
Now I'm going to ask you that as a bonus point. You've already said what you thought, but I'm going to ask you, was it more or less than 50%?
Definitely more.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
It was 45.3% of America was tuned in. I'm going to give you one more shot at a bonus point. Back in 1964 America, with 45.3% of households watching it, how many millions of people watched that first performance? I will give you the point if you're within 10 million people.
Oh, let's say 220,000.
No bonus point. 73 million people tuned in to watch the Ed Sullivan Show that night, which accounts for 45.3% of all Americans. I'm sorry, Mark, and I thought you were a Beatles expert.
I thought I was, too.
I'm going to give you the Steve Miller Band tickets, but you have to tell Junior over here. Junior, you know more about the Super Bowl than I know about the Beatles.
Junior, you definitely know more about the Super Bowl than I do about the Beatles.
Well, I don't like to brag, but...
Can I give him one last chance to redeem himself?
Go ahead.
The Beatles producer was very well known. His name is George R.R. Martin. True or false?
That would be false.
All right, you got a
point. Bonus for his real name.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know it.
It's George Martin. George Martin. Used to be a friend of the show's. We used to call him all the time.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Well, Mark, thank you for playing.
Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Hold on the line. Junior, who defeated you, will tell you how to get your tickets.
Sounds good. Thanks
all right, pal.
Lot.
Hold on. Well, I was quite impressed with Junior there. It was all guessing.
Yeah.
But he thought logically.
Yeah. thinking about what people want to hear, middle of the road.
Yup. All right, I'm going to tell you right now. Stay by your radio. The 4 o'clock safe word is coming. It could get you $1,000. We'll go over it when I give you the safe word. Here's the thing that you need to know to even have a chance at it. Don't text the safe word to me. I'll tell you how to do it, but I don't want to see it on my screen because you can't win that way. The 4 o'clock safe word coming up next. This is the Stan and Haney program.
What are you listening to? This transistor radio I made myself. Want to listen?
Stan and Haney.
It's a real radio and it works great. Can I build one too? Sure. All you have to do is put together all the parts that come in the kit. The transistor, the tuner, and the separate loudspeaker for broadcasting. Can you do your own broadcasting too? Yeah, sure. I'll do the announcing with this microphone while you work the radio. This is radio station
96 K-Rock.
The do-it-yourself radio station. Oh, boy, we're radio engineers.
Fellows, get your
Stan and Haney
radio at your favorite toy store.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. We'll get you updated on traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails, Wayback Machine at about 25. Still have about 2 minutes to get the 4 o'clock safe word in. Photo, P-H-O-T-O, photo. Got a guy that just texted, where do I input the word of the day on the K-Rock app? Right where it says the G-spot.
We make it as easy as possible.
Easy as possible. Photo. P-H-O-T-O. Got about a minute. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Our first look at traffic brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's take a look. We got a Fort Myers hit and run. College Parkway right by the Dunkin' Donuts. Then we have Fort Myers, disabled vehicle, Midpoint Bridge, Fort Myers side. In Estero, crash, South Tamiami Trail and Corkscrew Road. And one more for you, it's on Sanibel. Got a traffic control incident out there, West Gulf Drive and Tarpon Bay Road. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney is about to tell you. He's looking at today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okie dokie.
We have an emergency announcement from the CDC. Please stop cuddling your hedgehog. Stop it immediately.
Those of you that have a hedgehog,
we'll tell you why
in less than an hour. Isn't that Ron Jeremy?
Porn's, oh, that's Porn's hedgehog.
Porn's hedgehog. Gotcha.
A woman in Alberta, Canada, is holding an essay contest. The prize? Her $1.3 million home.
Well, that's nice.
I better get writing.
Yeah.
A bank robber uses an e-scooter to get away, and that's how the cops caught him. Police bust a man's drug dealing operation, and they really shouldn't have. He was pretty careful with that. You know what got him caught?
What got him caught?
Well, he just couldn't stop fondling himself in Target fitting rooms.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
And finally, a thief gets a bit of a surprise when he steals painkillers and they turn out instead to be powerful laxatives. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. You know, we try to set aside a little time each and every day for laughter.
Living in America!
Yeah! Woo! 4 o'clock fluffer time, brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark.
Stan.
Junior.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Seems like not a day goes by without someone announcing that they're running for president in 2020.
I know it.
The latest is Kamala Harris.
Yep.
She wants you to call her Kamala. And don't ask
Literally.
Her. Yeah, don't ask her about Willie Brown either.
No! Apparently a little affair, and he got her started in politics.
Yeah, that's right.
Willie Brown got a lot of them started in politics. Your Pelosi.
Did them all. That's right, folks. You may not know it to look at me now. But Willie Brown... Yeah. Was voted one of the top 5 sexiest men alive by Playgirl magazine.
Yeah. Got them all started.
Yep. Pelosi still can't walk straight. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
questions to ask yourself before running for president.
Top questions to ask yourself before running for president.
Would my face look good as a tattoo on Roger Stone's back?
Oh, please. Jeez.
Do I possess the ability to talk nonstop for 30 minutes straight without saying anything?
She's thinking about it again, too. She's thinking.
Am I going to have to go to war again?
Yeah. It might have.
Nobody understands it.
She's thinking.
Nobody understands
it. I know that.
My whole career has been for one specific goal.
Yep.
To keep that woman out of the White House.
Out of the White House. Get it. Get away. Oh, no. Don't. Get it away.
Indeed. How gratifying will it be to know that no matter what I do, I'll be openly despised and vilified by half the country. If I get bored, can I nuke Canada? What percentage of those campaign promise things do I actually have to keep?
Hold my beer.
And finally, the very top question to ask yourself before running for president.
Yes.
Can I give a Kennedy Center honor to Fog Hat? And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Hi, I'm Carol.
Hi, I'm Carol. I heard about Pearl Harbor on the radio.
Yeah, okay, let me get rid of that. Email time. Hi, I'm Carol.
Hi, I'm Carol. I gotta get home before I miss my stories.
Hi, I'm Carol. I voted for Ike.
Yup. Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
You know, I don't say this very often, but, you know, we have a website on our own, stanandhaney.com. And you can email us ahoy at stanandhaney.com. This is from Jim. who writes, "Ahoy, guys. You know, we all enjoy Broadway Joe's predictions.
Do we?
You know, but maybe this week, leading up to the Super Bowl, you can get in touch with Broadway, and he can reflect on his win in Super Bowl III. Do you know that it is 50 years ago this month?
Good Lord.
That he predicted? I guarantee it. 50 years ago. It was like January of 1969, after the 68th season. Nobody gave Broadway Joe a chance, not against the Baltimore Colts and their quarterback, Earl Morrill.
Well, it's all right. Baltimore Colts would have their revenge. Well, not the Colts, but their coach and Earl Morrill would.
Yeah, that's true. This is from Roger, who writes, "Hey, Stan and Haney, heard your question of the week last Thursday about places that we used to go to that aren't there anymore. Somebody called you about the Hut restaurant in Buckingham. Just wanted to let you know, despite what he said, the Hut restaurant in Buckingham is alive and well. Oh. Had a great meal there the other night. Thanks. Signed, Roger." And I'm glad to know they're there, too. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
What do we got here? Let me just take a quick little peruse. Tax dollars, Trump, illegal hospital, abortion.
Jesus.
Here we go. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, let me start with some of the smaller issues over the weekend, although none of them are minor issues.
So we're starting with the smaller ones.
Jesus. First, did you see they caught an illegal who had flesh-eating bacteria?
Yes.
Of course, he was taken to a hospital to be treated. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for that? I'll tell you. Our well-earned tax dollars. Did you see there is a huge outbreak of measles in Washington State? Why? Because it's one of the areas of the country that the no vaccine movement is huge. Jeez, he's right.
Well, Jesus.
They're insane out there.
He's right. Don't vaccinate your kid. Now, Washington State's got a huge measles outbreak. You know what, guys? That's just plain stupid. Okay, now the government is back open, which is good. But my money's on Trump doing an executive order. That's because the left isn't willing to give him the funds to build a barrier. They have no interest in a compromise. And the biggest news is Cuomo's signing of the abortion bill in New York State, which, in my opinion, is just so wrong. I'm not completely against abortion. Thank you, Guardian. Yes, it's a woman's right to choose, but the new law goes way past the logic and common sense. I mean, good Lord, who in their right mind would wait until their third trimester? That's nothing but infanticide.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you.
You sounded it out.
Thank you. For people to stand up and cheer and clap was just disgusting. So what they basically have said, in the eyes of the law, you can murder a baby. It's okay. See, the thing is, the church is upset because Cuomo's a practicing Catholic. And you know what? Daddy would be spinning in his grave. I have a feeling there is another opinion by the Almighty that in his eyes, it's the elevator straight to hell. The degrading of society is something I don't understand. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
Yep. Weird times we're living in. I never thought that I would see so much of the anti-Christian perspective.
Yep. Wayback Machine is next. We'll get your toe a tapping. We'll find out where we're going when we come back. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
I'm one of the most recognizable voices in the world today. Network television, Major League Baseball, and countless documentaries. Yet, because I worked with these guys in the early 90s, I'm obligated to say, you're listening to my friends, Stan and Haney.
Thank you.
This is beneath me.
Oh, is it?
96 K-Rock.
Well, I kind of have a point.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the news coming up in about 30 minutes. Wayback Machine in just a second will tell you where we're going. But first, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's see where we're at. Fort Myers, hit and run. The 11,000 block of Miramar Square Boulevard. Fort Myers, crash, Big Pine Way and South Cleveland Avenue. This is Fort Myers, too, up by Buckingham and Alva area. Crash, Palm Beach Boulevard at Veranda Boulevard. Well, that's a great track up there. And one more for you. It's Bonita Springs. Crash, West Terry Street at Bonita Fairways. And you are up to date. We do it every Monday here on the Stan and Haney Show. We take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this very week in a particular year. Today we're going to take a look at the bottom five of American Top 40. Let's find out where we're going.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1981.
Remember,
oh,
you heard it. I'll bet you danced to it not so long ago. Now let's live it up again with Stan and Haney.
Number 40.
LTD. Shine On. That's me playing the piano right there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yep, that's me.
Just yesterday,
yeah.
I cast my eyes upon your lovely face. But that was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, not today.
What happened?
Now just a dream that lives inside my memory.
Okay, he's confusing me.
Wish it could be.
That's the Stan and Haney difference.
Did that mean limited for them too?
What?
LTD, like the Ford? That's limited.
Yeah, but I think it's named for the car.
So they named their band after the car?
The LTD.
Right. Shine On. LTD.
Mother.
Yeah.
I know sometimes I stop and stare no matter where I am.
Okay. That's what I do. I stop no matter
yep.
where I am.
Stop and stare.
Yep. Middle
Once
of the road.
Yep.
Driving my car. I'll just stop.
Name out loud,
and then I call her name out loud.
Yep. And people look at me.
My friend,
wonder what's wrong.
What the hell?
We'll bring you
this was actually a hit.
Shine on yesterday. Carry me away.
And that is Generic Ballad by LTD.
Yeah, called Shine On, number 40. Ah, look who was still charting in 1981.
Yeah.
The Blues Brothers, number 39.
Who's making love?
Boy, they had the band. That's the Stan and Haney difference. The Stan and Haney difference.
I know there are some women guilty of this too. I'm not trying to run your life. The choices are big. Hey, you.
Crassy.
Lou Marini.
The reason why I ask this question, I used to be the same old way.
Colonel Duck Dunn. Tom Bones Malone.
Yes, sir. All the best. Brothers.
Lou Marini.
And Lou Marini. I held this woman in my arms.
She is an angel.
And he was the biggest star in Europe.
That we didn't know anything about.
Olivia. Cliff Richard. Suddenly.
Oh.
She walks in and I'm
huge superstar in England.
Yeah, he was like their Elvis.
Yep.
My hopes begin to rise.
The only thing we ever knew him for was Evil Woman.
Yep.
Can't you tell I'd be so
thrilled. I want you to be okay, baby.
To see.
She's gonna pull through.
The message in your eyes.
You make it seem I'm so close to my dream. And then suddenly it's all right.
Suddenly.
She was just sent here to brighten things up.
I look deep into her eyes as I put my arms around her. It's true, Junior.
Tenderly.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't need the answers, 'cause I'm ready to take.
And you felt it when you were holding her and thought to yourself, Sandy.
Yep. I'm holding Sandy.
Sandy, I like you so much better when you're wearing your school outfit before you hoard yourself up.
And went all leather. That's is Cliff Richard still around too? Isn't he?
Probably.
Yeah. Still not making any headway here in America.
Nope.
And Olivia.
But, you know, it'll be his time someday.
There you go. That's number 38 this week in 1981.
And now a special treat.
Coming in at number 37. Say what you should say. The Michael Stanley Band.
And you have met his family.
Yes. Yes. I met Mrs. Michael Stanley, his sister.
What?
His sister.
Is not Mrs. Michael Stanley.
No, it's Mrs. Wayne Newton.
There you go.
I helped her pick up her tampons when they fell out of her purse.
Aw, what a gentleman. Huge in Ohio, Michael Stanley Band. Every day, I feel I'm going. What to say about it so. Big rock radio hit. That's a great thing about the 80s. We were just trying to get laid and have fun.
Yeah.
We weren't all depressed. That's the Stan and Haney difference.
Oh, sounds bad. They lifted you up.
Yep.
Have fun. You don't have to be sad and wobbling all the time.
Yep.
Or violent.
You got mad when you said that.
Yeah.
Violent. Yeah.
Sax band.
He wants to hold you. Don't want to let him try.
Yep.
He can love you like I love you. So good at using you, but he
gotta
can love you like I love you. Well, come on, let the proving begin. Ooh, I said he can love you like I love you. So good at using you, but he can love you.
There you go, Michael Stanley Band. Last one we're going to take a look at was number 36 this week in 81, Pat Benatar.
Yeah, everybody knows her name, but her husband is the one that made it happen.
Yep, musical genius. I saw her in concert back in those days.
I bet she was good.
She was good. She canceled because she claimed she had the flu. I mean, they had a redate for it at the Sunrise Musical Theater. And she gave everybody T-shirts. You knocked me out with your best shot.
You had one?
I had one.
What happened to it?
Long gone, along with all my other concert shirts.
Who took it?
I don't remember. Some woman.
Yep. how it happens.
It was like, you hit me with your best shot. It was on the front. They were white t-shirts.
Nice.
For the remake. And she asked everybody, everybody got their t-shirts?
What a nice lady.
The crowd was going crazy.
That's the Stan and Haney different.
Open your eyes, maybe you'll see the light. Oh, treat me right.
There he is, Neil Giraldo.
Tambourine.
Good, because that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You want to be lovers and you want to be friends. I'm losing my patience. You're nearing the end. Treat me right. Treat me right. Open your eyes. Maybe you'll see the light. Oh, treat me right.
What a powerful rock voice.
With the perfect accompaniment.
Yep. They made a good team.
I wonder if they're divorced.
I think they're together. I think they are. I think they might be. Pat Benatar, Treat Me Right, number 36. Incidentally, the number one song in the land this week in 1981 was The Tide Is High by Blondie and that prostitute Deborah Harry.
Yep.
That's true. Yep.
Yep.
Smack addict. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mark Haney and the news.
Tired of paying the high cost of new nails and screws? Now you can get that new nail and screw look and feel without the new nail and screw price at Haney's Used Nails and Screws in San Carlos Park. Haney's Used Nails and Screws, voted best place to buy used nails and screws by readers of the news press. They hammer like new. They screw like new. But they sure don't cost like new. Haney's Used Nails and Screws. Open weekdays noon till 2 p.m. in San Carlos Park, where the old A&W Drive-In used to be. Also serving the coldest beer in town. Be sure to visit us at haneysusednailsandscrews.net. Because .com was already taken. Does this sound familiar? You go into the hardware store and...
Ah!
Yep, it's washer and bolt sticker shock. Well, if you're tired of paying top dollar for your washers and bolts, here's good news. Announcing Stan's Pre-Owned Washers and Bolts. Stan's carefully selected pre-owned washers and bolts look and smell just like new washers and bolts, but at a fraction of the price.
After all, if you can't tell the difference, why pay the difference?
It's a known fact that new washers and bolts depreciate the second you take them out of the package.
So don't make a several cent mistake.
Insist on Stan's pre-owned washers and bolts right next to Haney's Used Nails and Screws in San Carlos Park. And don't forget, every Tuesday, it's half price wings.
For more information and money-saving coupons, look for Stan's pre-owned washers and bolts on MySpace.
Every time you use brand new duct tape to fix that broken taillight or secure the sole of your tennis shoes, do you feel like you're flushing your hard-earned money down the toilet? The same leaky toilet you patched up with duct tape? Well, now there's a more economical way. Introducing D-Train's secondhand duct tape. Why buy new when you can buy secondhand? Most of D-Train's secondhand duct tape contains nearly 80% of the original adhesive power, but for pennies on the dollar. Pick up a small wad for those simple projects or a big ball of secondhand duct tape for all you weekend warriors. Available in black, blue, red, and classic silver. And D-Train's secondhand duct tape takes trades. They buy your duct tape even if you don't buy theirs. So get stuck on D-Train's secondhand duct tape. In San Carlos Park, one door down from Stan's pre-owned washers and bolts in the Haney's Used Nails and Screws Plaza.
I'm one of the most recognizable voices in the world today. Network television, Major League Baseball, and countless documentaries. Yet, because I worked with these guys in the early 90s, I'm obligated to say, you're listening to my friends, Stan and Haney. This is beneath me. 96 K-Rock.
How many times are we going to try it? Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. You got another safe word coming up at 6 o'clock with the Rob Show. He's on the way at 6, playing all your favorites. Mark Haney in the news here in just a second, but we're going to get you updated on traffic first, brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, got one thing on the board right now, and it's in North Fort Myers. There seems to be a problem, Hancock Bridge Parkway and North Cleveland Avenue. Now, they don't say accident, they say, or crash. They say traffic control. Don't know what that means. Something's going on. And you are up to date. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Charles.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Peralt in New York. Eric Severide in Miami Beach. Charles Collingwood in London. George Herman in Washington. Marvin Kalb in Washington. Robert Pierpoint in Washington. And Daniel Shore in Washington.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, January 28th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
You said Pat Benatar's marriage is still intact, huh?
Two daughters.
Yep.
She and Neil got married in 82 and still together, evidently.
Yep, and she kept her first husband's name.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's got to burn.
Yep. We were talking. Wonder if he gets a little taste. Using my name.
Yeah, you married somebody else. You're using my name. What are you doing?
Huh? How about a little jack this way, huh? How about let me get my beak wet?
Well, he could have started a band.
He could have.
Called it Benatar.
Yup, it's his name.
You familiar with the University of Oregon?
The Ducks. The Oregon Ducks.
Can you picture their mascot?
Yeah, I've seen them.
Look like any ducks you know?
Cartoon duck. A duck in a cartoon.
Huh. Who's the most famous cartoon duck?
Oh, I know a lot of you are going to say Daffy. Donald. Donald Duck. Oh, there he is right there. That is Donald Duck in an Oregon uniform.
Well, we all know how litigious Disney is. How do they get away with that?
I don't know. How do they get away with it?
It is Donald Duck.
It is?
And it is all legal thanks to a special license the university got from Disney in the 1940s.
Well, before they knew too much about all this stuff. Look at there. That's Donald Duck.
It is. So if you're saying, oh, it looks similar, no, it's him.
It is. Yep. Interesting.
When's the last time you had a lifesaver, Stan?
You know, I want to say I had a Wintergreen probably like a year ago. I used to have them in the dash of my car.
Yeah?
Yeah. Also used to come a lot. I remember my parents would give me lifesavers at Christmas time. They'd be in the big lifesavers multi-pack thing.
Oh, yeah? Would you get different flavors with that?
Yeah, your butterscotch and your Wintergreen and your peppermint and cherry, tropical, the orange.
The first seven flavors of Lifesavers were peppermint.
Okay, yep, sure.
Wintergreen.
Yep.
Clove.
What?
Licorice. Cinnamon. Violet. And chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those first seven flavors, only peppermint and wintergreen survived.
Yeah, because no cinnamon. And
clove was good.
And violet.
Yep.
What?
Nobody knows.
No.
Chocolate. I don't think I want a chocolate lifesaver.
Stan, you, my friend, are a world traveler.
Seen the globe. All points in between.
So you have a pretty good point of reference if you want to rack your brain here. What city has more bridges than any other city in the world?
Got it, because I've been there. Venice, the city of bridges.
Venice,
Italy.
Is in second place.
Hmm? I thought that's what they're known for, their bridges.
Well, they're known for their canals and their gondola.
That's a cesspool.
Venice, Italy is second to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which has more bridges than any other city in the world with 446.
And they're all made with good old American steel.
Or they were.
Yeah. A lot of stone bridges in Venice.
Do we remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
I certainly hope we would.
Well, if you watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, our neighbor, would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty. If there's one thing Fred Rogers is known for, it's those sweaters.
Yep. He would take off his sport jacket, put on a sweater, and show everybody how he could zip it up. And then he'd take off his shoes and put on his slippers. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Yeah.
Well, all those sweaters that he wore over the years on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Hand-knitted by his mother.
Oh, by Mama. That's nice.
Probably. He was too good for this world.
He was too good. He was a good, honest man that cared. Now, that Mr. McFeely.
Yeah.
This guy.
He likes the spotlight.
He likes the spotlight, was jealous of the attention.
Speedy delivery.
Yep. This guy still tries to push his act on us every once in a while to come on the air. It's like, really? If you go and call, you say you want to, you know.
Hi, Mr. McFeely.
He'll answer the phone. He'll try to say it's not, but it's him. Oh, by the way, somebody just texted Pat Benatar's first husband. Could have started a band and called it Benatar and the Pats. Could do it. Could completely. That's his name. Benatar and the Pats. Yeah.
Well, he could legally change his name to Patrick and go out as Pat Benatar.
Yep. Could. It's his name.
And now an emergency announcement from the CDC.
Oh, I remember you were talking about this in the headlines. Listen up, people.
There is a salmonella outbreak going on right now. And the experts have determined the reason behind it is astoundingly stupid. According to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control,
yeah.
11 people in 8 states have been infected with salmonella in the past few months. And now they know why.
Why?
They caught salmonella from kissing or intimately snuggling with their pet hedgehogs.
My girlfriend had a hedgehog when she was growing up.
I thought you weren't going to get into history like that. It's best that you don't know. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Best guess, that you don't know.
I guess she liked that. Fine. He lived a full life. It was the guinea pig that she had that didn't last long because she pet it to death.
Yep. Did she name it George?
I don't know. I won't go that deeply.
Yeah. Well, I know it's...
she pet it to death.
Yeah, I know it might be shocking, but they say when you are intimate with your hedgehog,
yeah,
they can pass germs to your face when you do that.
Oh, my God!
No one's died so far, but they do encourage you to keep your hedgehog at a safe distance.
I'm sorry. I also think that happens with regular pets, too, like your dogs and your cats. And you see, the woman with the cat, come here, take the food out of mama's mouth. Yeah, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on. Mama's got your food for you. Wasn't it you that said, or you read somewhere? Think about this, because they always will tell a pregnant woman, don't clean out a litter box. Because that we won't find out for another 100 years that cats gave us some kind of disease.
Well, it's a parasite that makes us bond with them. That makes us like them.
Yeah.
That's proven.
But they were something else because you catch something from them.
That's what you catch.
The parasite.
Yep. Oh, and you catch other things too. Yeah. I mean, look at a litter box.
The worst.
Ask yourself what could survive in there.
Yep.
Nothing good. Nothing good.
Nope.
And completely unrelated malady news. I don't have it in front of me, but I did see it over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I guess it happened way back in 2008, but it was enough to pique my interest. It happened in Europe, and it was a college kid who, for some reason, thought it would be a good idea to eat some spaghetti that had been at room temperature for 5 days.
Ah, who in their right mind?
He ate it, got sick, and figured, oh, well, I'll sleep it off.
Yeah.
And his parents found him dead in the bed the next day. And they say it's not the sauce that killed him. It was the pasta itself.
What happens to the pasta when it gets room temperature?
It starts growing deadly stuff. It was some sort of bacteria.
Look that one up, Junior. And if it's real, which I wouldn't doubt, Haney, post it.
And what happened internally is he ate this stuff, and it was basically like eating poison.
Yeah.
And they say what actually caused his death is it was so bad and so full of bad stuff, it overwhelmed his liver, it shut down.
I believe it.
Well, that's pleasant.
Yeah, thank you, Haney.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, there is a woman named Alla Wagner in Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
And she has been trying to sell her house for several months. It's located in a rural area about 45 minutes outside Calgary. It is a 5,000 square foot home.
Ooh, big one.
Three bedrooms.
Ah, yeah.
Wine cellar.
Oh.
Breathtaking scenery.
You can bet on it.
But no one was biting at the price.
What was she asking?
$1.7 million Canadian dollars.
Please, wake up, lady.
That would be $1.3 million in U.S. dollars.
Look at this nice house.
I like it.
I do, too.
What do you say? You want to live there and have our studios there?
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
So, nobody was biting. So, she came up with a new strategy. She's holding an essay contest. 350-word essay.
Okay.
Whoever writes the best one, she will give them the house.
Wow. And no plagiarism, Joe Biden.
Now, is there a catch?
There's got to be a catch.
You betcha. There is a fee of $18.75 to enter the contest.
There you go.
And she will not give away the house until she's received 68,000 entries.
There we go. Problem solved.
That would come out to the asking price.
Yep. Yep.
She says she's already getting thousands of entries every day.
And reading none of them.
And if you're wondering, because she kind of didn't mention it, what's she looking for in the essay?
Yeah.
Oh, how will moving here change someone's life? Why would they enjoy cutting the grass? Why would they want to be here?
Look at that yard. Can you imagine cutting that thing? Oh, you'd get Dave to do it.
No, I'll tell you what we'd do. We'd get one of those giant ride-on commercial things.
Yeah, that wears out fast.
Where it's got a cab with air conditioning and entertainment system.
Get tired of it fast.
Why? You know of this?
You'll get tired of it. You'll get tired of it.
I get tired of anything.
I know. That's why. You'll get Dave to do it.
Yeah, I'm tired of it all.
And you'll have him do it with a push.
That's good exercise. Good exercise.
Yeah. He's a good boy.
He is. He's a good boy.
Not.
You know, even in the criminal world, it's possible to be good at one thing and fail at another.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody has their weakness. Police in Dover, Delaware received a call last week from the local Target store about a gentleman who'd been repeatedly pleasuring himself in one of their fitting rooms with the door open.
So sick. What possesses somebody to do that? I don't know.
The Target had surveillance footage of the man leaving the store and also footage of him getting into the gold Jaguar he drove both times.
Luxury.
Well, police were able to track the car pretty easily.
Yeah.
And they found it belonged to 23-year-old Louis Foreman.
Louis!
And when they went to his house to bust him for doing stupid, perverted things at the Target,
yeah,
they didn't know that they would be walking into a major drug dealing operation.
Well, now that I see everybody involved, I believe it.
9 pounds of weed in the house, scales, baggies, the whole deal. So he was arrested on drug charges and indecent exposure, and two women in the house also busted on drug charges.
Ladies?
All because Lewis had a compulsion.
Yeah, his drug business was going fine. He just couldn't keep it in his pants at the Target.
And he got two fine ladies at home.
Yeah, two fine ladies at home. Running his operation with him.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, I don't know.
I think you do.
I don't. Do you feel sorry for this guy or no?
All right, I'll be the judge of that.
There's a 56-year-old gent named Peter Hans in Pinellas Park.
Okay.
On Thursday morning, he thought it would be a good idea to steal some pills out of his roommate's lockbox.
He's a stoop.
When you're 56 and you're going through your roommate's things,
yep.
You're not doing that well.
Life hasn't been kind.
Now, Peter rifles through the lockbox.
Yeah.
And, as you always say, read the label, set a better table.
Absolutely.
He found a prescription bottle with a label that said, hydrocodone, acetaminophen. Jackpot.
Yeah. That's a fun night.
His roommate was not amused. And when he called the cops about the theft, Peter admitted he took the pills.
Yep.
And he knew they weren't opioids.
No.
And he learned this the hard way. What was in that bottle?
What was in that bottle? That was all high, set up for a great time.
High-powered laxatives, and yes, he found that out in the nasty way.
Yeah, the hard way. Yeah, how to do.
And he can't return them because he threw the rest away when he realized they were dangerous.
Yeah, this is nothing to be played with.
He's been charged with theft.
Look at him. Look at him.
Something has gone horribly wrong.
He's been through hell.
There was probably a time when things were going his way.
I doubt that.
Never?
Never. Never. His life has been a batch
just
of
one,
bad decisions.
One struggle? Yep. One struggle after another.
There's no life left in those eyes.
He just wanted a cheap high.
Yep. So what did it get him?
Time on the toilet. And that's the news for today, Monday, January 28th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
Here he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Has he got a glass eye?
He's got a lopsided face. Now, you don't know if they got a true glass eye until you tell them to follow the pencil. And you go, like a cop would do, follow this. And then one eye would look straight.
Yeah.
And now, if it was taken at an angle and the cop photographer said, look at me right here, you'd be able to tell.
Yeah, he's got one of those faces where it's like two faces.
Yeah. He's got one that hangs a little lower. Needless to say, this guy has had a hard life and has made a ton of bad decisions.
Stan, what are the odds of it having a happy ending there for our friend Peter?
Slim to none. He ain't coming back from this. He might serve his time, get out of jail. He might be, as he could be out now. I don't know.
Well, he just got charged with theft since he actually wasn't stealing narcotics.
Yeah, he's back out.
He just stole like a Dulcolax or something.
He's drinking one of them aluminum tall boy bottles right now.
For safety.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news.
Bitch.
Yep. That's what they say around the neighborhood. That poor son of a bitch. Look at him. Guy can't catch a break. Did you hear what happened to him?
Yeah, he got effed again.
We'll be back.
Well, the hell of it is, at least he's not going away, because technically they can't charge him for stealing narcotics because they were laxative.
Yep.
But he's still got to go.
I'm telling you who's fast on the road to that right there.
Breaker 1-9. Anybody know where I can get a good chicken dinner? Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
To have a CB again. I'd love that.
Easy there, Ratchet John. Yeah. CB, Mike, Bullhorn, not good in your hands.
Yeah, I know. Never has been. Let me ask you something, because I'm looking at that guy that had the Vicodins. Well, he thought he did. But he had laxatives, high-powered.
He just wanted to feel okay for a second.
He's 56. I'm 56. Do I look better than that?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I needed to know. Junior, you agree I look better than that, don't I?
Maybe.
Stan, I'm 52. I look better than that.
Yes, yes, you do.
Junior says maybe.
Maybe. A couple of things on the board. North Fort Myers got a crash. No, we got a disabled vehicle. Hancock Bridge Parkway and North Cleveland Avenue. And then in Bonita, we have a crash. Bonita Beach Road Southeast and Crown Lake Boulevard. And you are up to date. Let's laugh a little bit.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
My wife and I were thinking of having a baby, and I'd like to have a kid, because you can name your kid anything you want. I like that part. I'd like to give my kid an interesting name, you know? Like a name with no vowels, maybe, you know? Just like... Just like 40 F's, that's his name. Go clean your room, you know, something like that. Some people name their kid a word like sunshine or battery or something like that, like they use a word. I like to name my kid a whole phrase, you know? Something like ladies and gentlemen. That would be a great name for a kid. That way, when he gets out of hand, I get to go, ladies and gentlemen, please, and stuff like that. And I would like that. This is my son, ladies and gentlemen.
Sounded like one woman laughing really hard at his jokes. Must have been his girlfriend or wife or somebody in the group. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this.
Motivational Monday.
Motivational Monday.
Turn that frown upside down. A smile can be a very powerful thing. The physical act of smiling affects your brain and can boost your mood. Smiling helps people struggling with anxiety and depression. Smiling can lower your blood pressure. Smiling reduces stress. It can also improve relationships.
Sure
and smiling makes you look younger and more attractive.
Yep.
Smiling also boosts your immune system, reduces pain, and people who smile more live longer.
Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling.
And the world will smile for you.
Motivational Monday.
That was for you and everybody else.
But wouldn't it be uncomfortable to have to smile all the time?
Oh, well, you get used to it afterwards. A lot of people on TV.
I'll tell you the one that I'm thinking of.
Oh.
The royal family, especially the young women, they have to, because there are so many pictures taken of them, they're always smiling, which means that smile must be permanent.
I want people to make a mental note of this. When you are watching, for the most part, unless it's some kind of medical product they're selling, but for the most part, if somebody is doing a stand-up ad on television,
like a Dennis Quaid,
they are smiling. Now, when you do these things, and Haney and I have done our share of them, TV shows, commercials, and all that, your natural tendency is to be yourself, and when you look at it on screen, well, you're not smiling. People that do these commercials, like a Dennis Quaid,
where he ends up with like pallets of toothpaste, but says maybe that's not what you want.
Everybody's smiling, and you have to force and learn to smile, because when you watch it on television, it's natural. Oh, they seem pleasant, and I believe them because they're smiling. You know, we try to set aside a little time each and every day for laughter.
Living in America!
Yeah! Woo! 4 o'clock fluffer time, brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark.
Stan.
Junior.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Seems like not a day goes by without someone announcing that they're running for president in 2020.
I know it.
The latest is Kamala Harris.
Yep.
She wants you to call her Kamala. And don't ask
her. Literally.
Yeah, don't ask her about Willie Brown either.
No! apparently a little affair, and he got her started in politics.
Yeah, that's right.
Willie Brown got a lot of them started in politics. Your Pelosi.
Did them all. That's right, folks. You may not know it to look at me now. But Willie Brown was voted one of the top five sexiest men alive by Playgirl magazine.
Yeah. Got them all started.
Yep. Pelosi still can't walk straight. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
questions to ask yourself before running for president.
Top questions to ask yourself before running for president.
Would my face look good as a tattoo on Roger Stone's back?
Please. Jeez.
Do I possess the ability to talk nonstop for 30 minutes straight without saying anything?
She's thinking about it again, too. She's thinking.
Am I going to have to go to war again?
Yeah. You might have.
Nobody understands it.
She's thinking.
Nobody understands
it. I know that.
My whole career has been for one specific goal.
Yep.
To keep that woman out of the White House.
Get it. Get away. Oh, no. Don't. Get it away.
Indeed. How gratifying will it be to know that no matter what I do, I'll be openly despised and vilified by half the country. If I get bored, can I nuke Canada? What percentage of those campaign promise things do I actually have to keep?
Hold my beer.
And finally, the very top question to ask yourself before running for president.
Yes.
Can I give a Kennedy Center honor to Fog Hat? And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis, up the building.
That's it, baby.
Hi, I'm Carol.
Hi, I'm Carol. I heard about Pearl Harbor on the radio.
Yeah, okay, let me get rid of that.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.